sister, my friend, Pastor Jennifer O'Dellion.
Woo! Yeah.
She's the city of God. We're the senator. She was ordained in 2013 by her spiritual father, Milton K. Smith of Empowering Grace Community Church.
Christian Center.
Christian Center. Jennifer and her husband, John David, Bird City of God Worship Center, a ministry focused on building the body of Christ to go and make a kingdom impact in society.
Amen.
And they are very diligent in what God has called them to do. As an inspirational speaker and biblical teacher, Jennifer unveils the beauty of kingdom life in Christ with an apostolic anointing and prophetic sound.
Amen.
She has authored several books and is the founder of Powerhouse Women, a mentoring ministry tailored to cultivating women for their purpose work in the kingdom of God. And if you don't know, if you haven't viewed Powerhouse Women, it's on Facebook Live, on
first and third Mondays.
Very powerful teaching, so I suggest all women tune in on the City of God Worship Center page on Facebook. She is passionate about equipping the saints alongside her husband and winning souls for God's glory. So right now, please put your hands together and welcome our sister, Jennifer O'Dellion.
You know, I love to teach, and it is a type of Bible study night. Amen. It's not Saturday. It's not Friday night fever. It is Thursday, and this is the kickoff of Rise to Power. And so it is going to be powerful today, and I'm excited to bring the word. Amen. As Pastor Marty has said on Facebook, we got rid of the fluff and stuff. Amen. And I'm not a cotton candy preacher. I don't preach trends. I preach the Trinity and the truth, amen? Because God desires to bring liberation and freedom and empower you to go out, like Pastor Inez said, to go and make an impact where God has assigned you, amen? And so I'm excited to be here tonight, and I understand it is a Thursday, and some of y'all have work tomorrow. But I pray that you are going to receive what you need, especially in this time, amen? And so I do like teaching on the kingdom of God and your destiny life in Christ. Amen. I believe that when you come into the kingdom and you give your life to the Lord, not just to save you, but to lord over you and teach you destiny, you are raised up to deliver a people. Amen. So it is a rich word tonight. And there is a requirement that God has for his daughters and his people in the whole. Amen. And so, you know, I was telling my husband some time ago, I had told the women that God with his daughters is beckoning us. He's not begging us, but he is calling. And let me tell you something, that if you want to play in the sandbox of stuff, you can go ahead and do that. And God will check in on you sometime this time next year to see if you're ready to get serious about his business. But the Lord already instructed me that I would be speaking to Deborah's tonight. And indirectly, I would be speaking to JL's. Amen? Because we as Deborah's need to get in place. We absolutely have to be in tune with the Word of God, the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We got to be moved in the Spirit once again. This morning, I was telling my husband that I had felt so exhausted, and I went and I took a nap. I think I napped for an hour or two, and I'm not a napper typically. But the Lord had given me a dream, and in my dream this morning, I dreamt that I was speaking to a minstrel, a Chenaniah, someone that could sing the song of the Lord because he knew the heart of God. And I was telling him in a righteous frustration, I don't want to see another Vegas show on the platform trying to worship God. But before I could finish my thought to this Chenaniah, I had my phone in my hand, and I saw that it was already happening. I saw the these Vegas showgirls scantily dressed on the platform trying to worship the Almighty Living Holy God. And I heard the Lord say, I'm not there. I'm not in that. But Jennifer, what you are thinking isn't happening yet or just happening, it's been happening. The disco ball, the fog machine, the flakes, the eights that say they're the saints. And I'm not in that. And then I told my husband, my dream changed, Pastor Marty. And I could see the outside of a church that was not Pastor Inez. And I could see demons just trying to penetrate the church. But there was a force field, and it would just bounce off. But the attack was intense. And I'm not trying to be spooky, but there was a very real warfare. But it could not penetrate the church, and the Lord said by His Spirit. He said, these are not assigned to this. And then he took me inside. And I saw beautiful hues of orange, bright orange, light orange, brilliant orange, just many shades of orange. And then I saw a man of God on the platform. And I could see how the Spirit of God was speaking to the man of God. And he was receiving new sounds and new syllables of the word. And he was receiving impartation by the Spirit of God, and the people in the church were not seated, women of God, men of God. They were moving. They were praising. They were rejoicing that as the man of God began to declare and decree the word of God, the new sounds, the new tongues in the Spirit, the people were receiving, and they began to speak, and they began to declare, and the church says, this is mine. This is my command center, he said. And I woke up. All sleepy and groggy. With my cell phone trying to record. And I'm not tech savvy. And then I went to my husband because I hadn't had my coffee yet. Honey, listen to this. And he's like, what are you saying? Come explain. The Lord gave the word. And the great was the company of those who contained it.
Yes.
The Bible says in Psalm 68:11. And when I asked the Lord for the word for the Rise to Power conference, the Lord gave me Judges 5:7. And he said, Jennifer, this is the condition that my children are in. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. The Lord said, even though my children are in a corrupted, counterfeit, overthrown position, I still have a remnant. I still have a righteous remnant. And I'm raising them up. Lord, I thank you for this evening. I pray, Father, that you would just begin to move by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. I thank you for confirming your word within your daughters and your sons. I thank you, Father, that even the viewers on the live stream who are tuning in at any hour after it's done, they will receive the impartation of your word. They will have the ear to hear. Their spirit will receive, and they will be equipped to do according to your will for your glory in this time. Father, I submit myself unto you to release your instruction to your people. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone that needs to return to you, God, let us join one another and embrace each other. And believe together. Repent and receive your call to move forward in your mighty name. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do in this place on these next few days. And the powerful women that you're bringing forward to decree and declare. And to rise up again. Freedom and liberation. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord glory, women of God. There is a sound that comes from the women of God. I'm talking about mighty women of God. There is a tenacity that we have, women of God. I And I understood that the threat of God, when he calls you out raise you as a father or a mother to a nation, it will require you to leave all of your understandable life. He requires separation, Danielle. And so comes the challenge to leave everything that is familiar and friendly and fun. He'll challenge you and test your heart to see if you'll leave the people, the places,
yeah,
and the provisions, systems that are functional, that have worked for you, settings that you are comfortable in, and trust him for the absolutely insane, impossible, incredible, and indescribable. You have a show, you still can't drive it, but he puts a requirement. Will you trust me? Can I grow your faith? Or are you the saint or the eight? Because this is testing time. And I want to see you achieve. I want to see you advance. And so you begin a journey with him. I've seen the journey of great men and women of God. We saw it with Esther. We see it with Abram and Sarah. A journey. An engagement that requires deeper conversations. And even placing you in a refined fire. We see it was good when he cleaned you up. But to go deeper in that capacity of kingdom life,
yes,
he's got to put you in the fire and now purge you. Purge you of those things that make you self-dependent and not fully dependent on him. And it's a hot fire in some places. Like Pastor Inez was saying, the soul times. God is requiring us to spring clean really well. And here we are, the summer. Some of you behind, you're supposed to get rid of those relationships that are toxic. And I'm talking about people in the kingdom who have turned cult. And they ain't serving Christ. They counterfeit. They wear a cloak. They wear a crutch. They make you doubt. They hinder you. They hinder your progression. But it's like the woman of God said, because they're my friend, then I'm not being Christian-like. You see, we're doing it with everybody, expecting God to bless it, and he can't. They are a distraction, and God has already told you who. When he took Abraham out, he had to leave Lot. And when Abraham got to the place, God said, now look and see what I promised you. You've got to do it with God right now. You can go on Powerhouse and go listen to the last two on quality relationships if you need to. And you get enlightened. Because in the world, I realize there's BFFs. There's good friends, comrades, homegirls, mi carnala. Come on now. I said it to the other women of God. I said, listen, a little Latin spice is nice. A little Latin spice is nice. Don't get scared with the Spanish word. God is raising that seed as well. We've been in the background too long. We've got to rise up. But you know, in the kingdom, you have alliances and allegiances and covenant, and we don't understand that no more. We don't. I see people say, we got to love everybody. We got to love everybody, yes. But in the kingdom, there are connections that you must make. Because it's not about you. There is so much more that God desires to tell you. But because of where you position yourself sometimes, like I have, we can't handle it all. And so you got to sit there as a refining fire.
Yeah, right.
You got to let go. I need you to see.
Amen.
And a lot of times it's about you. It's a bit about me. My heart. But the Lord desires to take his people to a higher place.
Yeah.
And when he purges you, he can place him in you. More and more, bringing you into focus and proper alignment. Because he's got to prepare you to carry out his cause. And so it's much more than just a cleanup. It's a purge. And you will have moments, as Abram and Sarah did, when you say things in your heart. You know, God knows what you say in your heart. People don't know. But the word of God says that even before you speak, God knows what you already said.
You know, one of the things I wrestled with as a woman, I would hate to have an open conversation with God about things that I knew were wrong, things and people that I disliked. We don't want to have that open soul tie relationship conversation with God, and He knows everything. But God requires relationship. You say, well, I would ask, why did God tell you everything, God? You already know, because I want relationship. I need you to know that I can handle you good, bad, and ugly. I'm the real deal, God. And I love you irregardless. I don't need you to hide your ugly. I don't need you to pretend.
That's right.
I died for it all, and I love you, but I love you too much to leave you the same. So I need you to trust me to release and to speak and to share. If you're not with sister so-and-so, listen, let me tell you something. When I'm having an issue or someone that hurt me, I go tell Daddy. Daddy, I'm mad at sister so-and-so. I don't know if she's a Jezebel or what, but I'm just feeling all kind of attack and pressure. And you know what? Sometimes it's just me going crazy in my carnal mind. God, I gotta purge you. You got a bad reference point. You gotta fall out of agreement with that old hurt and give this young lady a chance. She's just a Peter, a petrol. She puts her foot in her mouth a little bit, but you know, she's gonna grow out of it. You got some growing up to do too. I realized that even when I don't want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me about some deep stuff, some look in the mirror examination, He's still gonna speak, but He does it as a gentleman. And so I just realized, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to pour it all out before you. Let's do real. Let's keep it 100%. And it goes well that way. And the Lord, whenever He calls you out to raise you to a nation, the Lord says, obey, for I am God. Have faith. Trust that I am the one with the power and the ability to meet every need. I shall perform every deed according to my word concerning your life. As I did with Esther, as I did with Joseph, as I did with Abraham and Sarah. And so there is a need to be intentional, to hold fast to God's commitment, believing that He shall fulfill what He has promised. Because I'm telling you that you must be ready to rise to power in His power. Because the shifts in the kingdom will not take place with you in it until you arise. Village life cease, says the word of God in Judges 5:7. In Israel, until the woman of God arose, a mother in Israel. You know, when I read the scripture, I thought village life was just people, community, commoners. But then I studied. The Lord always challenges me to study. Study the word, woman of God. Get in your concordance, woman of God. Study your ESV, your NIV, your New King James Version. And for hours, my husband will tell you, there's books everywhere. The Bible dictionary. Good thing I love to read. And I learned that the village life, the Hebrew word, parazon, would cease with the leaders and the warlike chiefs. Warriors ceased. Men who were valiant no longer occupied. And because they no longer occupied the work fields, they could not no longer work there. The populations plummeted, and their godly way of life was abandoned and deserted. There was no one put in place to head the people anymore. But I learned it time and time again. You find a faithful God cultivating spirit-anointed leaders. And in the book of Judges, you find the 12 spirit-anointed leaders, militant leaders, the Lord raised up to deliver the nation time and time again. And there was only one woman, Deborah. I'm telling you, women of God, maybe you should have not came out tonight with this news. Because once you hear the word of God and it witnesses to your spirit, responsible for what you do with it.
Yeah. Amen.
But I'm going to say what the Lord said. Amen.
Yeah.
And so there was a young nation that was unstable, that forsook God. As it reads in Judges 4, 1 through 3, they quit, they left, they abandoned, they deserted the Lord, and they became an easy prey for the enemy invasion. It was interesting to me to find out, just a little history, that in the times of Deborah, it was a dark age, and the people of God were moving downward. So much so that there was apostasy, which means a total desertion or departure from their religion, their godly principles, the cause of God. This was going on in the land. And I thought about today and how we live today. And Judges records that in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was great compromise. And see, sin was not only in the sight of the Lord, but also against the Lord. And what I found most interesting about this time is that because they failed to drive out all the enemy, the king who is Jabin that you read about in Judges 4 was an old enemy revived. You better hear me, saints of God. And that enemy who wasn't totally dealt with came from within what was the Israelites' land. And this enemy had regrouped and started to make every attempt to restore their lost power. And in time, by the time you get to Judges 4, you find that they were now the most feared and most powerful with their chariots of iron. And the word of God says in Samuel and in Joshua, their scriptures are referred to chariots of iron being an advanced art. And the Hebrews did not have chariots, and they did not know the art of smelting iron. The enemy, when he is not gotten rid of, will always come back advanced.
Amen.
Ahead of you.
Yes.
Because you did not get rid of it all.
Yes.
You left a little residue.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that you allow God to deal with those carnal appetites within you and those relationships that don't belong attached to you. When Miss Inez is talking to you, when Pastor Marty comes up and teaches you how to deliver you, I suggest that you do it, because that enemy may see that it's in a corner and it's just sitting there watching you, and you think you got one over the enemy. But he's really got one over you.
Yes. Yes.
Because he does not sit there idly.
That's right.
He begins to watch you.
Yes.
He begins to assign things to you.
Yes.
He is a sniper spirit. And although sin is pleasurable for a little while, because the Bible says the wages of sin are death.
Yes.
And when you don't deal with the enemy and you don't have a life centered in Christ, that thing will rise up more powerful than you think you are. And when it comes and you try to use the power within has gone void because you've been feeding your flesh. And so the people of God found themselves against an invincible advanced army. And they gained the capability to take their armies out. I was reading about the chariots of their time, the 900 chariots that King Jabin and the mighty Sisera had. And some of them had these sword-type apparatuses on the wheels that would mutilate the foot soldiers. They were so intimidating. It was an advanced warfare, and they were not equipped. And that is what the enemy does. But I found that even though they were under such oppression, the people of God, the children of God, they wept, but they did not repent. We weep because we don't like that it hurts. We don't like that it's in the house tearing our children up. We don't like that it's tearing our heart up. The friendship, the things that we entertain in our appetites of flesh, and then we don't realize how we left a hole in our life and we don't know how to get out. But God has given the people of God instruction that they did not apply his word. When you come to stuff like this, and it's not a cotton candy preaching, it's not a sugar cookie for your coffee, God requires you to apply the word to your life so that you will have the advantage. There are some things that you should not be wrestling with anymore. There are some things that God has given you the instruction, but it feels good. But you don't know what they provide. Pastor Jennifer, they might ride to the grocery store. They're my extra gas money. They're my little friend that likes to drink the alcohol sometimes. They're there with me to give me an ear to hear all the latest gossip. And you weep when those times come, but never enough to repent. And I learned that with those behaviors of Israel and choices and what they allowed, what it really did is forfeited their national prosperity and blessings from the hand of God. When you entertain things like that as a believer, and God has given you a way of escape, and you say no, you forfeit your blessings and your inheritance that God desires to release to you. And you get easily entangled, and the enemy sits there thrilled to see you go down. When you're a woman on purpose, when naturally in us there's pursuit and tenacity, just as mothers when you birth your children. I don't know about you, but every time I have my child, there was a greater expansion of my heart. And I don't know if it's just us Latinas, but there was a Latin lioness that wasn't the tribe of Judah back then. And man, I would protect my children. You could not look at them crooked. You could not make them cry. You could not tell them, talk to them in any way that wasn't acceptable, because I would step in. But what's the problem here? Well, back then, it'd be this fight, following you home. Because I'm just a hunter-gatherer like that. But praise God for the kingdom. It's a good thing. In the world, it wasn't. But it was following up. But praise God for cleaning it up. And so what brought misery to the people of God was their idolatry. When we idolize things above the Lord, we'll be brought to a place of misery. It's never filling enough. Our feeling only comes from the Lord. And when God is not in the center of our life, pressure from the outside becomes a greater force than the power that should be within you, and you become an easy prey for the enemy. When carnal desires become the core, you better believe the enemy will besiege you. He will surround you to capture you right when you're hearkening to the summon of God for your life. Right when you're getting planted in a great church. Right when God is connecting you to kingdom relationships. Right when God is promoting you to greater. If there's anything that he can use against you, he will begin to surround you, to capture you, and begin to overwhelm you and oppress you. Not just to destroy your life, because he's not just satisfied with that, but to destroy your lineage and your legacy. It was amazing to me that the children of Israel for 80 years had experienced victory. Under Joshua and the elders that outlived him, they were found obedient to the Lord. But now in Deborah's age, there was this new apostasy in a new generation, and it aroused the Lord's anger. But God, in his faithfulness, was raised with Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapido. She was leading Israel at that time. Deborah, the Lord said to me, I'm raising Deborahs in this hour. Amen. Who have undergone a refining fire's hand. And it has been painful. It has been lonely. But you're finding your place, and your trust and your faith is growing in God. And you're honing into your purpose, and God is getting to ready to position you to do a great kingdom work. And so you've got to continue with it. You've got to continue with him, because he's raising you no longer just to be a blessing to those immediately around you, but to places and people that you're assigned to for his glory. For his glory. Deborah, she was a faithful woman who called upon the Lord. Highly respected, a woman of influence. She lived for God. And because she lived for God, there was a remarkable relationship with the Lord. And through that relationship, she was given great insight and confidence, as bold as a lion, for a unique position. God would choose her to lead Israel, trusting that she would take charge as he directed. She would be given the responsibility to lead a remnant into battle and rescue the wayward who cried out. And this was an outstanding woman, Deborah. She was a psalmist. She carried the heart of God. She would be used by God to be the vessel of his demonstration. And through her life, we're to learn what a person can do when God is in control. We find her ready to lead when called on. She was able to plan and direct and delegate. Until Deborah arose. There was a stirring up that needed to take place. There was a placement within her under that tree. That even though she was doing her ministry duties with the people, handling grievances and giving advice, let me tell you something. I think sometimes she got tired. Living for God, she thought, Lord, how come they don't get it? I'm sure she had days of frustration. Oh, you ministers, I know you have days of frustration. I'm not the only one. The young ladies keep calling you and talking about the kind of men they draw in, but they don't want to change that invite after the club, after the drinks. They leave their deliverance here. And I believe Deborah, knowing the condition of God's children, she had days like, Lord, when? Lord, please intervene. This person comes up to me every week, and I sit here, and I try to realign, and they come back with the same issue. But you know what? I believe God was dealing with her heart still to rise to a specific maturity, to have that love of a mother, to be an example, to be a prototype, to be that first one. God was dealing with her and maturing her to grow a heart that it would expand, and that heart that would protect as a mother, as a reigning queen, the people.
Amen.
And that was that exercising ground. And I believe that that's what God has been doing with his daughters as he's positioned us to do what we do in ministry, in the church, and outside the church.
Amen.
When he connects you to young ladies in the pool. Yes, yes. When he connects you to relationships at the outreach, like we do. Will you be patient when they call and they text? When you're doing a home visit, and there's a heated argument with the man that's not her husband, but they want to get right? Will you have the heart of a mother, Jennifer? John David, will you have the heart of a father? I'm building that in you. I know you see their mess, but I'm fixing some of your mess to make you qualified for this next position. But until Deborah arose as a mother in that capacity, with that kind of heart, with that kind of qualification, with that kind of order in her life and understanding, you see her engaged with Barak. And there was a time that she goes through where I believe she stirred up in the spirit. And the word of God says that she calls for Barak, the kingdom connect. And I believe that it's so important to stay in tune with the voice of God so that you understand your kingdom connect. and you find in Judges 4, 8, and 9, Barak comes and Deborah tells him, listen, the Lord has given you this war. And she tells him, thus saith the Lord. And he says, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. And Deborah says, certainly I will go with you. And when I began to understand who Barak was, I see him referenced in Hebrews 11, 32 and 34. A man of war who was named in the Hall of Faith. And this dude has a history that through faith he conquered kingdoms. That he obtained what was promised. This was a man of war who knew how to shut the mouths of lions, quench the fire from the raging fire, escape the edge of the sword, who gained strength from weaknesses, who became mighty in battle, and knew how to put foreign armies to flight. You know, I believe that when Deborah and Barak came together, that Deborah said, listen, Barak, we got some history. We've seen some wars, General. We've seen those years of liberation and victory, even as we face the violation of the enemy. And I say to you today, Barak, that some trust in chariots and some in horses,
yes,
but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm telling you that God is raising daughters that have an ear for his shout, that have an ear for his voice. And when the Kingdom Connect comes, when the men of God come,
yes,
when the men of valor come, they will know that it's not just a woman speaking. They will know that she has the Song of God, that she's releasing the Word of Life, and she is beginning to stir him up. And you say, "Man, woman of God, let's go." And she's going to say, "Yes, because I'm a militant leader too. Let's go in because we know the God that we serve." When I consider her song in Judges 5, 10 through 13, I read how she sings, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places, for they recite the victories of the Lord, the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, Barak, take captive your captives. The remnant of the nobles came down. The people of the Lord came down to meet against the mighty. And I think that there's a song that the Lord is developing in each of you. And I'm not talking about the entertainment song. I'm not talking about the thing that stirs up your spirit. I'm not talking about when you come in here and try to see if it interests you, if it can pick up your mood. I'm talking about when you're down in the dungeon or you're down in a corner and all you can reach out for is the Lord your God. Have you ever had a moment like that, women of God? I know that I have. And it's not a pretty song. It's a war cry. And sometimes it begins with a very heavy and sorrowful heart. I was listening to this one song called Do It Again. And many women sing it, but this one woman was singing it. And she talks about how she thought by now the walls would have fallen down. But then she says, but you've never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come. Knowing the battle's won, for you've never failed me yet. And I love the chorus because she says, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And I started thinking about Deborah. That there were times that maybe her heart was heavy, like some of you here today, with pressing issues of life as you pursue the greater call in God, and you are waiting for the manifestation of his promises. But there are times where you have to stir yourself up. You have to be intentional to get in the word. You have to sick, when you don't want to, and have a conversation with God, even if it's tears, even if it's the yearning, even if it's the groaning, you must make that time. Because it's in that place, I believe, the devil was. Because I learned that it wasn't till the end, towards the end of the 20 years of oppression that the people of God were facing, that God then began to rise her up as a mother, as a deliverer. And I thought about that song, Señor, lo harás otra vez. Lord, you will do it again. And there's this bridge in that song. And the woman of God is singing, I've seen you move. You move mountains. And I believe,
yes,
I'll see you do it again. You made a way,
yeah,
where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again.
Yeah.
And I know that her heart was heavy, like some of us have those times too. But one thing I've learned in those places, as you worship the Lord and you leave him that load, there's a wind that begins to come. The Spirit of God begins to strengthen you. The Spirit of God begins to remove those things that are weighing on you. The enemy sitting on you. The enemy clouding you. The Spirit of God begins to raise a standard. And I imagine Deborah gaining her strength, gaining her second wind, and her song in her spirit getting stronger. I've seen you move.
Yes.
You move, yes, the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'm going to see you do it again.
Yes.
I'm going to see you do it again.
Yes.
For that purged life, When she called, he began to move. He began to move. And some of you, as narrow as your life may seem, I'm telling you that God is positioning you to rise to power. That when you need to cry out on behalf of your family, on behalf of your marriage, on behalf of your children, on behalf of the ministry, on behalf of places and people assigned to you, because you have gone that narrow path with God, when you call on Him, He will rise up and He will release the power, not just to change a little circumference, but a nation, but a people. I know it's a big responsibility, women of God, but He is summoning His daughters. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be found an unfit servant. I want to be doing His will. I want to be the one He can use as a vessel of honor to bring deliverance and to bring life back to the land. When Deborah was being raised up as a fourth judge, four symbolizing that God was setting all things in order to bring stability and order and completion of justice. You see, village life has ceased, not just in our home, the way that used to be an epidemic, but seriously speaking to you as world changers, like we like to say. Village life has ceased in our nation, within our children's schools, within a grand community, within Texas. And God is desiring His daughters to rise so that they could bring deliverance with systematic instincts to establish God's will and reign. Daughters that are able to receive divine knowledge by the inspiration of the Spirit of God and be His mouthpiece by God's direction to raise the remnant and to rescue His children that are coming to a place that they recognize that they've been wrong, but they want to be redeemed, because God's heart is to redeem His people. And I'm telling you that God is endowing you and preparing you so that you can rise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness to people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you, mighty women of God.
Amen.
Mighty women of God. You must be ready to arise in power, mighty women of God.
Amen.
I want you to raise your hands to that. I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord. As you're in this place, as you're in His presence. And Father God, I just thank You for every woman that is in here tonight. I thank You for the men of God that are in here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that Your word that has gone forth through Pastor Inez, through myself, through other women that will impart to these women of God, that they would grow roots in their heart, Lord. Father, I pray that You would just begin to stir them up in their spirit, Lord, regarding their destiny, God. That You would begin to strengthen them, Lord. That if there's embers in their heart, Father, that need to rekindle, that You would rise up a flaming fire again. Father, that You would begin to bring realignment to their hearts and to their lives. And right now, we just come in agreement for Your will, God. We just ask for Your forgiveness where we have been stagnant, God. Where we have been hesitant, Lord, where we have reserved our right to be, God. I ask, Lord, that You begin to break hearts in this place, God. Lord, I ask that You would release Your revelation to their hearts, Lord. That You would begin to confirm a thing and establish their position in You, Father. That You would begin to stir up the gifts within them, Lord. That whatever has lied dormant in their life, God, I speak and awake, and awake, and awake, and awake in their spirit. I thank You, Lord, that this is the time that You are rising them up for Your glory. I thank You, Lord, that You are administering your justice and your purpose, your strategies through them. I thank you, Lord, that there are mighty women of God and valiant men of God that will take the wall again. I thank you, Lord, for the clarion call through their life, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would begin to speak to them in their night season, that you would give them light in their path, God. I thank you for the song of deliverance that you're building within them, Father, that as they go forth, they will connect with the kingdom relationships, and they will move forward for your glory, that they would be the bridge to the JLs that are out there, Father, who feel that they do not have a destiny. But when Deborah and Barak arise, Father God, I thank you that they will drive out the enemy. And that little JL that thinks she doesn't have a life in you, she will find her life as she does. She will be moved to move in the spirit. And she will see the strength that she has in you. And she will be the next generation to rise up and take the head of the enemy word. She will be a glorious light in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Father, for every lineage and legacy work in this place, God. And I seal it in the blood of the Lamb, Lord. Father, I pray that you just begin to mold the hearts that are heavy with hurt, that are hardened with bitterness, so that what you administer tonight in deliverance will be fully received, God. We believe in you. And we call on the name of Almighty God tonight, Christ the King. I thank you for opening minds tonight. I thank you, Lord, for giving us insight. We receive your instructions. We receive your direction. And every prayer, Father, that will be released tonight at this altar, God, I thank you that you're going to draw the women by your spirit, and they're going to be ready to receive, God. They're no longer going to weep. They may weep, but they're going to repent and be restored and be ready, Father, to rise to power, because it's your good pleasure to raise strong, beautiful daughters, strong in the spirit, mighty works for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give him glory and give him power. Don't you be tired. If you watch the midnight show, if you could.
Amen. Let's not stop here. Let's not stop here. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. He's worthy. Come on. You have heard this. Big word tonight. You have heard concerning the soul ties, concerning the unhealthy relationships. And then you hear Pastor Jennifer come in and talk about the song that is within. Let me share something with you, and that's just how you know that God is working intricately what he wants to do. Before a song can be released, you've got to get rid of the junk that's in you.
Amen.
That is stopping you from getting a new song. You've been singing an old tune, an old song for too long. It's time to get rid of it. It's time to move forward in the destiny that God has for you. But in order for you to step into that place, you've got to get rid of the stuff that has been there, locked up, and it's kept you bound, and you don't even realize it. You still see the same type of cycles in your life, the same type of people coming in. It's time for you to get past where you're at and time to rise above the circumstance, to rise above everything that is coming against you, to rise above the adversity, and to rise as women of God. Be empowered and moved by the declaration of the word of God over your life and through your life. The reason why you're set free is so that you can go and set others free. It's not for you to sit there and hear the word of the Lord and never go and release the word of the Lord. You have to begin to move in power and demonstration of his glory. Are you hearing this? God spoke very specifically concerning your relationships, whether it be that the intimate relationships that you are with, or whether it be spiritual relationships that you have given your heart, your soul, and your emotions to. Are you hearing this? We get wounded in church services, we get wounded from church to church, and we begin to accept that we can go to any church that we please and never get planted, because we're always so easily uprooted because of someone's offense. And the church doesn't begin to prosper like it used to prosper. And back in the days when the power of God was moving so freely, that no one would get offended by it if someone told you the truth. See, the Spirit of God is trying to come in back into His place. But if we don't get out of the way and let God be God, then it's just us doing our own thing all the time just to please you, to get little tithes and offering to pay the bill. The truth of the matter is, God is not concerned about the money. He's concerned about everything and the treasures inside of you. You are a gem that is hidden, that is now getting ready to be revealed and unveiled for such a time as this. Women, it is time to rise to your place of authority, your rightful position. Take your position within the kingdom and release the God-given authority that is inside of you. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to walk in destiny? Are you ready to be unlocked with the very things that God has already positioned you to do? Well, we're going to get rid of all that stuff that's been tied up in our soul. If you know that this message tonight, soul ties, issues within the emotions, and then to rise to power like a Deborah. In a time where a village where warriors didn't take their position, where those who were called to war and fight for the kingdom didn't want to fight no more. Have you ever felt like everything that you've been doing to this point has been to no avail?
Yes.
Well, it's time to change that.
Amen.
This is the drawing, the line in the sand.
Amen.
Choose tonight what you want to do.
Yes.
We've had enough people preaching left and right all over the place. You can go on Facebook Live. You can go to every place and hear any kind of preaching. But it's time for you to put to use what has been preached to you. Amen. Amen. Continue. Because I know that when we begin to gather together in His name, the Bible says that He is in the midst. Not a mist, in the midst of you. Not just to be here and say, oh, I'm here, they're talking about me. No, He's here for you. For you. And what I want to do at this time is I want to open up the altars, and I can have Pastor Inez come and Pastor Jennifer come to the altar so that we can work on this. But right now, what I want to instruct you to do, if you know you've been dealing with soul ties, unhealthy soul ties,
yes,
and you've had emotional scars that have happened in your life, what I want you to do is to go to that place where you've had that emotional scar come to you. I want you to put yourself there, that emotion, whether it be anger. I want you to put yourself in that situation. I want you to remember that issue that transpired in your life that made you get angry, or made you feel like you were abandoned, or made you feel like you were just left out, rejected. I want you to put yourself there, because you have to identify with where the root is in order for it to get uprooted. Are you ready for it? Because once you see it, and once you begin to feel that emotion, we're going to go through and get delivered tonight. Amen? Now you may be saying to yourself, well, I don't remember anything, but the Bible says that you don't have to bring it to remembrance. The Holy Spirit will remind you of all things. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you. Pastor Inez says that you may have to go home and go through all this. I don't remember this joker. I don't remember that joker. Guess what? The Holy Spirit does remember.
Yes.
And will bring that to you. And it may not be a sexual thing. It may not be a sexual thing. And I'm going to say this way. I know we have different various ages in here. If my daughter's in the room, I'll be very polite about this. But it doesn't take sexual intercourse for you to have a soul tie. It means you just gave yourself and trust over to somebody else. And you got hurt, you got wounded. But in order for the new song to come out and for you to rise like a Deborah to arise in such a time as this, you've got to get rid of that stuff and keep you from moving forward.
Amen?
Are you putting yourself there? Put yourself there. Where you were at, wherever you suffered any type of abandonment. Because what happens is that we suffer all kinds of things that take place into our soul, we begin to create altars and fragments within our soul. An altar is something that you go back to because something that has been refreshed in your life. A fragment is something that you hold onto because you don't want to let it go. The woman of God just spoke about the fragments that are left in the kingdom of God to rise up and take control and win back the territories, right? Those are fragments of righteousness. But there's also fragments of unrighteousness that